A hostage negotiator faces a man with a shotgun, threatening to end his life.
What does he do?
He doesn't argue.
He doesn't command.
He simply says, "You seem really upset, and like you've got something important to say that no one's listening to."
Within moments, the man lowers his weapon.
This isn't manipulation. It's understanding a fundamental truth about human connection.
When someone won't listen, pushing harder only drives them further away.
The secret lies not in what you say, but in creating the space where others choose to listen.
Whether you're dealing with a resistant teenager, a difficult boss, or a hostile client, the same principle applies. You can't force someone to hear you, but you can help them want to.
Your brain operates like a three-story building. The basement houses survival instincts, the middle floor contains emotions, and the penthouse holds rational thought. When someone feels threatened, they're trapped in the basement. The upper floors shut down. You cannot reason with someone in this state, no matter how brilliant your argument. This explains why logic bounces off angry colleagues. Their amygdala floods them with stress hormones that disable the frontal cortex where rational thought occurs. Until you address this emotional hijacking, facts are useless. The solution isn't forceful persuasion, but downshifting, meeting people emotionally and helping them return to rational ground. Consider colleagues Hank and Audrey, locked in mutual contempt. During mediation, one question broke their pattern. "Hank, do you know Audrey feels you find her repulsive?" Audrey cried with relief at being understood. Hank dropped his defenses and admitted respecting her skills, but finding her intensity overwhelming. By making Audrey feel felt, the mediator created space for honest communication, moving her from resistance to receptivity through acknowledgement, not argument.
Mirror neurons in your brain let you experience others' emotions. When you genuinely mirror someone's feelings, they biologically mirror you back, creating a neural bridge that transforms adversarial relationships into collaborative ones. The technique? Identify their emotion, acknowledge it directly, ask them to elaborate, then work together on solutions. Picture a defensive CEO burned by consultants. Instead of pitching, say, "I bet you're thinking I'm just another consultant who will waste your time and money." His surprised, "How did you know that?" opens the door, because he feels understood rather than sold to. This approach even thawed the Cold War when Reagan invited Gorbachev to "call me Ron," creating empathic connection that helped end decades of hostility. The pattern? "I think you're feeling overwhelmed, is that correct? How overwhelmed are you?" This isn't therapy, it's creating conditions where real conversation becomes possible. When you acknowledge someone's existence, they naturally become receptive to your ideas. The key is genuine empathy, not manipulation. People sense the difference immediately, and their mirror neurons respond accordingly.
Our biggest communication mistake: trying to seem impressive rather than being genuinely interested. Compare two holiday cards, one listing accomplishments, another showing interest in your life. The second wins because it focuses on you, not the sender. You can't fake interest. People sense it immediately. Instead of treating conversation like a tennis match where you score points, approach it as detective work. When meeting Staples founder Tom Stemberg, asking, "If you had it to do over, what would have saved you hassles?" sparked an enthusiastic conversation where he shared valuable insights. Self-assurance shows in how deeply you're interested in others. Insecurity shows in how much you try to impress them. Leadership expert Warren Bennis demonstrated deep listening, giving complete, undivided attention, as if they were the only person in the world. When you satisfy someone's biological hunger for acknowledgement, they naturally become receptive. When office assistant Anita constantly interrupted with minor problems, telling her concerns were too important to discuss without full attention, transformed her behavior. Her need for importance had been satisfied.
When cornered and defensive, instinct says bare your teeth. The effective response? Bare your neck instead. This assertive vulnerability represents authentic power. It prevents emotional overreactions and activates mirror neurons that create genuine empathy. A medical student nearly dropped out, overwhelmed by anxiety. Rather than hiding his struggles, he told his father, "I'm afraid." This honest admission led to deep understanding and healing. When people hide their feelings, they create a mirror neuron receptor deficit. Others cannot empathize with what isn't shown. Keith Ferrazzi, the renowned networking expert, regularly employs this in high-stakes corporate training. When one CEO admitted imposter syndrome, it sparked a breakthrough discussion among the entire executive team about shared insecurities. Sharing vulnerabilities reveals similar struggles in others, creating immediate bonds. The practice requires courage and timing, not indiscriminate disclosure, but strategic authenticity that builds trust.
While most communication focuses on connecting with people who enhance your life, it's equally important to recognize those who want to destroy it, people who drain, con, bully, or scapegoat you. Certain toxic individuals are major stressors, undermining health and happiness. Sometimes the most powerful decision is keeping such people out of your life completely. Three approaches exist for dealing with toxic individuals: confront them directly, neutralize them, or walk away completely. Pathologically needy people are emotional vampires who demand constant attention and are never satisfied, unlike genuinely needful people who occasionally request help and show appreciation. Bullies target those they perceive as easy prey, handle them by refusing to follow their script, maintain composure, appear slightly bored, and stand straight with relaxed body language. Takers constantly ask for favors but never reciprocate. Immediately counter their requests with your own, creating quid pro quo. Narcissists care only about themselves and view others merely as an audience. Psychopaths lack the neural mechanisms for empathy. The only effective strategy is to get away completely.
In a world of transactional exchanges, we've forgotten how to create transformational connections. The shift requires moving beyond "what will you do for me?" to questions inviting people to share who they are and aspire to achieve. Watch for looking up moments when someone pauses, glances upward, and engages deeper thinking, signaling genuine reflection and emotional engagement. Apply this internally too. Break the pattern of immediate task focus by asking, "What would I like to be doing this time next year?" or "What legacy do I want to leave?" Meaningful questions open your mind to new possibilities. A power thank you transforms casual appreciation. Thank someone for something specific, acknowledge the effort required, and explain the personal difference their action made. A power apology transcends simple sorry through four R's: remorse, genuine understanding; restitution, concrete amends; rehabilitation, sustained behavioral changes; and requesting forgiveness, only after proving sincerity through corrective actions. The ultimate insight: underneath power and position, everyone needs to be heard, understood, and valued. When you satisfy these needs through genuine interest and empathy, you create connections that transcend barriers and open previously locked doors. In an increasingly disconnected world, the ability to truly listen isn't just a skill, it's a superpower.